Yes, it is Thursday, March 23. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Noe Von Sampson from Fox League this morning. She has a work commitment. She'll be back next week. So we've gone wide and far, not even far and wide, to find the replacement this morning, at least for the next 10 minutes.
Big shoes to fill.
Huge. The great Nathan Hindmarsh, Eels legend, joining us. Hindy, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Oh, what an introduction, mate. It sounds like you've just scraped the bottom of the barrel. I want to talk about rugby league. It feels great. I'm glad I got up for this. Really have the pump for it.
This is the highlight of your week, I guarantee you. But firstly, give us a tease, Hindy. I know it's going to be covered on Fletch and Hindy on the Matty John Show, but the Robertson Spud race, we've got some keen Robertson listeners on our show. How did you fare?
Well, I give you a little. I entered the race. I finished the race, but you'll have to wait and see where I finished. You know, I could have come first, second, third. There was about 20 odd people in the race. So, but difficult, very difficult.
Hindy, what was your technique? What was your technique for bag carrying? Was it like a baby? Was it over the shoulder?
Mate,
what was it,
Clarky? It's 50 kilos.
Yeah, mate. I said to Loz, no way. You couldn't even lift it.
It's over the back of the shoulders. So you kind of grab a corner each side over the back of the neck, sort of thing.
Okay. So how's your neck now?
No, my knees are gone. My hip. I need my new hips going in next month. So I'm pumped for that. But yeah,
you're looking fit though, Hindy.
That's not what you did. Hang on. That is not what you just said to me before we come on. You're unbelievable. You are the biggest suckhole I've ever met. Hindy, he was smashing you. He's going, mate, every time I see him, they can't find a shirt in wardrobe that fits him. Now he says this on radio.
Well, he's not far wrong there, Lawrence. But someone else has also, you know, developed a bit of a gut on him as well.
Yes, I know. I'm going to lose this gut, Hindy. I'm going to lose this gut.
It's the T-shirts. It's the Miami Vice look. You know, it's the T-shirts underneath the jacket.
Now, Nathan, what have you got on this weekend? I know you watch a lot of football. What do you got on?
This weekend, the kids are actually playing a bit of sport this weekend. So I'm actually running around the Hills area in Sydney, watching the boys play a few trials, and then I'll have a couple of beers, no doubt, Saturday and maybe Friday night as well. So yeah, that's pretty much my week. Maybe mow the lawn. Feed some cows, all that sort of stuff.
Chooks?
Sounds awesome.
Yeah,
sounds
no awesome. Chooks. The fox has got the chooks. I've only got guineas out there.
Hindy, what's Parry going to do, buddy? Can they beat this Panthers outfit?
It's going to be very difficult, I think. Just the way the Penrith Panthers are starting to find their form again from last year, I believe. That they were a bit of a slow start, but I know we're only three games in. But the Eels just... You know, with the Eels, they're not... You know, I'll defend them here. They're not losing by much, but again, they're still losses, so they're not winning. Just watching their games, they've scored some really nice tries, but I think I would just love some more involvement from both their halves. Yeah. I really would. You know, I think they're the match winners for the Eels, and for me at the moment, they're just not playing a full 80 minutes. They're jumping in and out every now and then. But they need to be the game winners for us. Like, every team has them, but the Eels at the moment, we're missing those game winners, and they're our halves at the moment.
Do you buy into any of this Mitch hasn't announced his re-signing? Is that playing a part at all, or is that just because he hasn't re-signed, it's just chat at the moment, it's just out there?
I don't think it's frustrating the playing group at all, because he's obviously still there next year, but the fans are obviously getting a little bit frustrated, because they obviously want to see him signed.
Yeah.
But it is starting to drag on a little bit. What's he holding out for? Like, because he's, from what we're hearing, and I know I'm starting from what we're hearing, the money seems to be outstanding. So where do you just show me the dotted line and I'll sign it? Yeah.
What's the rivalry like with Penrith, Hindy?
It's really built the last probably, because back when I was there, it was more so the Dogs. It was the Dogs Eels early on. Yeah. That was the big rivalry, and then slowly it's morphed over to. They try to get the Tigers-Eels rivalry happening, but then it makes sense. you know, the two Western Sydney sides, it's built over the last probably 10, 15 years, but more so, I think, since things have been said, you know, across the little, you know, across the, you know, the Great Western there. So it's getting there. It's good. The fans love it. It's a local derby for us now. So the both sets of fans get out and they support the game. So it's taken over definitely the Bulldogs Eels sort of rivalry that we used to have.
Hindy, Felice Kaufusi's suspension, 4 weeks. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I'm not happy with it, to be honest with you. There are so many styles of tackles that you need to get set for, you know. And we're trying to see, you know, we're sick of the wrestle, we're sick of the catch. And then that's all fine and well. But then when you get set to two, he was set early. But when your halves dig into your line, and Laurie, you're going to disagree with me because you played in the halves, he dug in well enough to line that Felice got set early enough to hit him. So there was no pulling out of that. I don't think it was late, to be honest with you. I thought it was a decent hit, but that, you know, what the suspension he copped was ridiculous.
Yeah,
like you get someone like Jakey Trbojevic, you know, who can drop low and but he picks up when he pulls off a hit. So he lifts up underneath the back of the legs and he lifts up. He doesn't drive forward or whack with a shoulder. So there's different styles of tackling out there, but I thought it was very harsh. I disagree with the outcome.
And Heine, just for our listeners, like, you're told as a back row or a forward to put that pressure on the ball players, aren't you, to make that them play early rather than being
correct
in that line. Yeah.
Well, you don't want them to start getting that confidence where they can start playing in the line and getting their players to play a lot flatter against your defensive line. So that is the role of what it has been since the dawn of time. That playmaker comes near, you get him. You know, and then not legally, but you just have to stop him from sinking right into your defensive line. And if he's going to do it once, you won't do it again.
Can you believe that the Dolphins are 3-0, Hindy? I mean, what did you expect at the start of the season?
Oh, mate. Look, I had no idea. No one had any idea, so I'm just going to... I said 0-0 and... I think I mentioned. Look, I may have mentioned this. I'm not too sure.
No, I know what you mentioned. Let me hear it.
I think I may have mentioned, which means I definitely said out loud on television.
Now, what did you say, Heidi?
The Dolphins won't win their first game until round 8 against the Titans. So,
no one predicted this. There wasn't
exactly.
They can't beat the Bronx. They cannot beat the Broncos.
Wayne didn't predict it. I don't see him beating the Broncos. No, you're right, Clarkie. I don't see him beating the Broncos this weekend.
Bronx
up there.
Are playing well.
They are playing with a lot of confidence across the board. Reynolds, you know, he's doing what he was bought to do up there. So I think they'll just be. And obviously, with no Marshall King still, no Felice. So I think. Yeah, I think the Broncos will be way too strong.
Obviously, you want Parramatta to win the comp, Heine, but if you're looking at it now, who's your favourite for the comp and who do you think will get there?
Look, and I like the Roosters. I don't know what it is. The Roosters are going to be a huge team this year, I believe. They're just not getting it right at the moment. Now, you look across the board, look at their players. Souths will figure up there as well. But if I have to pick one, I'm going to the Roosters. I am. So.
And your mate Fletch, what's coming up? Obviously, you know, you've got the spud race. Gotcha.
We're work
it's
colleagues.
A forced friendship.
Acquaintances.
I tell you what, Heidi, he's such a funny bugger, isn't he, Fletch?
Oh, he is. There's never a dull moment around him. Yeah. Never a dull moment. Yeah, he's that quick-witted.
Yeah. How much GST does he add, or are they all true, you reckon, these stories?
Oh, there's plenty of GST. Plenty of GST. But it's the way he delivers them. That's how it's all in the delivery. Yeah. So I'll sit and listen to his bullshit stories all day. I don't care.
What about that? That's the art of a good bullshitter too. When you know they're bullshitting, they know they're bullshitting, but you still believe it.
Yeah, and still
and you want to believe it.
Yeah. And you know what? The more he talks bullshit, the less I have to say. That's great.
So obviously the spud race. Anything else that we really need to keep our eyes peeled to?
Oh, we've got a few Make Matty a Mans coming up. They're always interesting because Matthew obviously you know, growing up in the steel city, the working class town, doesn't know too much about anything really except rugby league, and he's got soft hands. So we do like to get him out and about. We've got something coming up at the Easter show. And bits and pieces, all different bits and pieces. We've got Brigadoon coming up, so a bit of a strongman competition down there in the Southern Highlands.
Is there anything you've flat said no to?
There was something tossed up again this year in regards to swimming out in the open ocean. Ooh. And I said, no, you can jam that fur up your chaminda. So,
what was the one you did where you broke your ribs? You and Fletch jumped. Oh, what'd you jump off?
No, that was Fletch broke his ribs. I had bone bruising. Yeah, I had bone bruising and a femur. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he punched in the lung as well, though.
That was a darling armor. Mate. Yeah. Those big bags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's when we had to work out we needed our own insurance. Yeah. No one was going to cover it. Fletch got a lovely bunch of flowers from Fox League. That was great.
Oh, mate, great to speak to you. Really appreciate your time. I hope your Eels, for your sake, get the 2 points tonight, and hopefully we'll chat soon, mate.
No worries, guys. And look, no more of those F-bombs like we heard yesterday.
Jeez, we thought we'd cut it out.
No, you didn't. I heard it. The kids were all in the car. You know, every
fire
morning.
Truck. It was fire truck.
Sorry, everyone.
They're 7, 16 and 15. They knew it was a fire truck. Yeah.
Good on you, mate.
See you,
Andy.
See you, Andy. Well, Sydney FC and the A-League Women's, they've got 3 games left before the finals. They're 2nd on the ladder. They're 2 points behind Western United, but they've played 1 game less, and they're coming off a 1-1 draw against Melbourne City away. They've got Adelaide at Cogra on Saturday afternoon. They finished premiers the last 2 seasons, but they have lost the last 3 grand finals. So it's business time as we get towards the finals. And joining us, she's in her 10th season at the club, yet still only 26 years of age, Sydney FC captain Natalie Tobin. Natalie, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, nice to have you on the show. And you conceded a very late goal there on Saturday against Melbourne City. I mean, describe that dressing room after and how it affected everyone.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing conceding in, the 94th minute. But in saying that, it is tough to go down to Melbourne. It was about 37 degrees, I think. So ultimately, it ended up being a decent result, but, you know, it has made the run into the Premiership a little bit more difficult, but I think we can still achieve it.
Yeah, Nat, how do you plan for the next 7 days? What do you got, 3 games? So I'd assume play, recover. Is that the key here?
Yeah, definitely. Recovery will be key. In saying that, they're all home games.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes it a lot easier. I think, I know in myself, what makes things quite difficult is when we have to travel interstate and it's very quick turnarounds in terms of getting in and getting out. But, I think home games will make it a lot easier and just a lot easier mentally as well going into it all.
Natalie, as a squad, where do you think you're placed compared to the last couple of years heading into the finals?
This year, unfortunately, we seem to have had a few more injuries, which has been quite difficult. But in saying that, this week we'll have a lot more coming back from injury, like Madison Haley, our number 9, she'll be back. And I think that'll put us in good stead for the finals. It's been difficult over the last, definitely, 2 or 3 games where we've had myself, I've been suspended and a couple with concussion, facial injuries. So, yeah, it's been difficult in that way, but we're a pretty resilient team, and to get the 1-1 draw against Melbourne City kind of showed that as well.
And you coach Ante Juric. Has he decided to, I guess, attack this time of the season differently, considering the grand final losses? I'm guessing that's the absolute goal this season. Yes, it's great to win the Premiership, but to win that grand final, considering that's just been a hump you haven't been able to get over in the last, 3 seasons now?
Yeah, I think that's everyone's goal. The last 3 grand finals have been disappointing. And I think last year I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this again. I can't lose another one. So So I think that's definitely our ultimate goal. In saying that, though, like, no team's won the premiership 3 years in a row. So it would be very special to do that and then to obviously do the double. And I think if we've got our whole team back and firing, which it looks like we will, then I think we definitely have the capacity to do it.
I know it's sort of a boring cliche, Natalie, but in sport, you tend to not try and look too far ahead because you can, start to lose your way. It's good that you've got that focus and that end goal, but is that the way you sort of go about it? It's just like what we've got now and not sort of worry about further down the track yet?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're looking, into the grand final or even to the premiership, which can be achieved in a week's time, like, you do get a bit ahead of yourself, I suppose. So, we're just trying to concentrate on one game at a time. And I think we're able to do that because there is three games to go sort of thing. And I think, you are only able to take it one game at a time. And it has come around very quickly as well. Like, I didn't really realise until the other day that the season will be finished or the round games will be finished in a week's time. So, yeah.
And Nat, to what extent has the season had, I guess, an extra edge to it, considering we've got a World Cup not far away and, the competition for spots, I'm sure, is very fierce?
Yeah, well, I think, it definitely motivates you a little bit more to try and make that World Cup team. But in saying that, I think, it's been a similar team going in and out of camps for the last, I'd say, 6 months, where they've kind of somewhat got their team decided. But in saying that, you never know with injuries and whatnot, so you want to put your best foot forward. We've got players like Courtney Vine, who's in that squad, and Jada Wyman, who looks to be kind of on the cusp there. So, yes, I think it's definitely motivating us. And then the following year, it's the Olympics. So, there's definitely those motivations there for everyone in the team who, definitely, I think Sydney coming first the last couple of seasons, you'd think we are the best team to kind of pick from as well.
Just on that then, Nat, do you have any conversations with the national coach, Tony Gustafsson?
No, not really. I think if he contacts me, obviously chat to him, but it's kind of out of your own control, really. You can only do what you want to do and, put your best foot forward with performances. But I can't really say I've called him or asked, why aren't I in there? Just got to wait and see and, continue to put my best foot forward for it.
Well, Nat, hopefully Sydney FC is celebrating another premiership, but particularly a championship by the end of the season. Big month ahead of you. Enjoy and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. If you are just tuning in, no Vonnie this morning. She has a commitment with Fox League. We'll be back next week. We're going to go pan-pick some games shortly and give our selections, get Loz to give us a little preview. But we've just got to clear this up about the Queensland Cup, Loz, from earlier this morning. So a bit of chat about the Madden situation. Well, we'll talk about Anthony Milford potentially getting a spot with Isaiah Katoa. In doubt with an elbow injury. So
I was trying to test Wise out. I was trying to test him and being a bit cryptic with my answers. And I said that, Jock Madden played in the halves with Milford and Milford played with the Capras, which he did. But there's Jack Madden, who's totally different.
Hang
Jock
on
Madden.
A second here. Hang on a second. Has Wise got you?
No, he hasn't got me. Got me at all.
So you got a Jock Madden mixed up for a who?
No, I didn't get it mixed up.
A Jack Madden.
I threw it out there.
No way in the world.
I threw it out
there. No
way. As a cryptic sort of text.
No way.
For Wise Owl. But Wise Owl didn't pick up on it.
So who picked up on it?
couple of our listeners.
About six
so
of them.
So you got so a Jock were... Madden mixed up with a
no,
Jack
No, I didn't
Madden.
Get it mixed up.
The rugby league guru...
Never got it mixed up.
...is calling Jock, Jack, Jack, Jock. Never. You didn't even know Jack existed.
Never got it mixed up. Mm. I was testing. Mm. So that's what you do on radio. You keep people guessing.
I'm not so,
so
sure.
So they can Google.
I'm not so... Wiseau, I reckon, he's cooked himself here. Oh, Earl Daly?
No, I haven't.
Mm. Well, you got one thing right.
Milford has been playing.
Yes, Milford has been playing for a different team.
But Jay Madden...
is not Jock.
Well, it's Jack.
Is there? Hang on, is there a Jock and a Jack? Or is it the same person? You just
know.
Called him Jock instead
I,
of Jack?
I don't know. I don't know whether there's Jock and Jack.
Okay.
Well, usually if you're a Jock, you can be called a Jack, can't you?
Say that again.
Hang on. Is
well,
there
sometimes
a jo- is there
sometimes
two,
people
is there
call
people
a Jock
here?
A Jack, don't they?
Jock's a Jack. Jack's a Jock. Listen, is there two Maddens? That's what I want to know first and foremost.
Well, I don't know Jack, but yeah. Jock.
What are the singers? Two Maddens? Two Maddens?
Benji Madden and Blink-182. Oh, yeah. No, they weren't Blink-182.
The
they
Joel.
Were
Joel.
And Joel.
Joel.
And Joel. Joel. Good Charlotte. Good Charlotte. Yeah,
good Charlotte.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a blast from the past. Mm-hmm.
One of them's married to tall, blonde, stunning. What's
yeah,
her name?
Out of... Something About Mary.
Yes.
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That is an... Yeah. That's Bradman-esque.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Cameron.
Oh, yeah. That'll do me. Yeah. All right. We've got to preview some of these games. Let's start tonight. Penrith and Parramatta. And it's at Combank Stadium. And the market with Tab will bulldog yesterday. Said the ambush is coming. The ambush is coming, and they're 8.5-point outsiders, the ambushers.
And you agreed with him.
$3.35.
Let's
the
see.
Ambushees.
Let's see if you're going to pick and stick. Let's see right here.
33.
Who are you going for, Mido?
Well, I'll get to that. Loz, who wins this game and why?
You traitor.
Look, it's hard to go past Penrith. Penrith have won 6 of the past 8 against the Eels. And the Eels are aiming to avoid their first 0-4 start in the season since 2018. They haven't been too far away, but they haven't been able to nail the moments when they've rolled around. If their halves can have a bit more control and be close enough at the end of the game, are they good enough to get the job done? Whereas Cleary, if it's close, you know that he will get his side home. Parramatta, they're missing a couple of edge forwards who were terrific for them last year in Lane and Papali'i. And that's always hard for ball-playing halves if they haven't got those back rowers that run those courage lines and are very good at doing it. And they're just not in sync at the moment with their attack. So I think they'll try hard, Para. I think it'll be close. But for mine, I can't go against Penrith. I just think they win this game. The Eels start 0-4, and then they've got to get themselves up again the following week to take on the Roosters coming off the bye. But this is a must-win game for them. The only thing in the Eels' favour, they've won their last 2 games against the Panthers at Combank Stadium.
Panthers.
I'm with my mate Bulldog.
Oh, you're lucky.
I'm with the ambush.
You are lucky.
Well, they need to ambush them.
Ambush.
But I don't think Penrith will be ambushed.
No, can't beat
them. They've given no indication over the last 3 years that they can be ambushed.
So everyone's with, well, you two are with Penrith and Bulldog and I with Parramatta.
Yep.
Melbourne are $1.33. The West Tigers, $3.35. 9.5, your line here. Melbourne, the minus Amy Park. And, the Storm facing 3 straight defeats, but the Tigers haven't won a game yet. And, Loz, you the other day, you were basically, you put a caveat on it saying depends on the availability of Cameron Munster, but he is still, even though he's been named, not an absolute certainty to start in this match for Melbourne.
If he doesn't play, I'm all over the Tigers.
At Amy Park.
If
they ever won there?
They have showed me nothing in their last 2 games in Melbourne. They had resilience in game 1, and I thought, well, that's something to really build off the back of when they hung tight against Parramatta. But they were blown off the park by the Bulldogs, And then last weekend against the Titans, to concede that many points and not win and just show plenty of disrespect for the ball, which they just didn't handle at all. Their completion rate was poor. Without Munster, I don't know how they attack. I don't know where their points are. And there's no Jerome Hughes there. I think they'll be more than trying this week after the rev up from Craig Bellamy. But I think it'll be a low-scoring game if they win. But if Munster's not there, I'm all over the Tigers, as bad as that seems.
Gosh, the record there is actually not too bad. They've only, this is Amy Park, not counting the old Olympic Park. They've played there five times. This is the first time they've played at the venue since 2019. Last time they played was 24-22 to Melbourne. Tigers beat them 10-8 in 2018. So there you go. They don't have the worst record as many other teams
Can,
up there.
Can the Tigers reproduce what they showed us in that, 10-minute period last week? Now, you would say no, given what they've done the first 3 weeks. But different halves, Dewey back at fullback. I think it's a stronger-looking forward pack with Isaiah Papali'i back. Bateman will be better for the run. You got Clemmer, Tukumanu, Coruscant. I think they need to play off him a little bit more rather than playing off their halves. I think the Tigers will be right in this contest. And if Cameron Munster doesn't play, I go with the Tigers. But if Munster plays, I'll stick with Melbourne.
Melbourne Storm.
Oh, come on, mate. Back mate, your team in.
Not at the moment. Not at the moment, unfortunately. Yeah. I wish I could.
Yeah, I'm close. Like Loz, I'm close, but I'm the Storm. By the way, Vonnie's tipped the Panthers, the Storm, and the Broncos, the other game we've already done this weekend. We'll sneak one more in here, and this is the Cowboys $1.45. The Titans are $2.75. 6.5 is your line here. Cowboys the minus. This is the 5:30 game, Fox League on Saturday. And the Cowboys have been, well, disappointing so far, Loz. They were really well beaten, I thought, by the Warriors last Saturday.
Well, they start fast, but then they drop away. So that's an attitude adjustment that's required up there in North Queensland. There's no Reuben Cotter this week. The Titans, I thought, played okay against Melbourne. AJ Brimson, I think he's a really good player and someone that the Cowboys are going to have to contain. Tino Fasua-Moali, what a player he is. Jeez, he's a good front rower. And it's going to be a big challenge for him taking on the likes of, you know, McLean, Hess, Taumalolo. I still think this Cowboy side have got so much more left in them. And I'm hoping that they're just not resting on their laurels from last season. Because if they are, it'll come back to bite them. And they've got to work hard like they did last year, be better defensively, control possession, and they've got enough points in them, but just sometimes, for me, they just don't look interested. You know, it's like, well, we'll switch, we'll flick the switch on here and, you know, we'll be right. Whereas if you've got that attitude against any team, you'll get beaten. So if their attitude adjustment happens this week, they get the job done.
Cowboys.
Well, welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And, someone wants to know, have you been on the gas this morning, Loz? Grant from Newey.
No, I haven't, Grant. Although,
thanks for clarifying. Why do you say that? I wonder why Grant says that.
I would assume the Tigers would have been.
I've seen you more mad. Oh, right, for one of your predictions. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. But you did end up tipping the Storm, provided Munster plays.
Yeah, if Munster's
tipping
not there,
right now, Munster's on the team sheet, you're tipping the Storm.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Brad Davidson from Sky Racing. Good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we all?
Yeah, good, thank you. So final fields declared for Saturday, and looking at the Vinery Stud Stakes, this Kiwi Filly Prowess. It's won its last four starts. We'll start with Barrier 3 after the scratching comes out. So is the $2.50 favourite when I last checked from Pavitra. Is the market right?
Yeah, I think so, guys. Yeah, it's fascinating. When you look at the margin with Pavitra last time out, it's easy to go, wow, well, why isn't she favourite? But maybe there's the market suggesting there's a bit more depth in that New Zealand form. I mean, she did beat the older horses last time out in a Group 1 over there and got such a terrific strike rate already, as you said, Jared, winning your last four and I think 6 of 8 overall. So, obviously, you know, last start when I watched that replay, gee, when challenged the last 50 metres, looked like it was going to go under and then just found a way to fight off the canvas. Looks a real winner. And, yeah, Pavitra's doing nothing wrong, though. Probably didn't beat a great deal at Kembla, and the overall time was pretty solid, though, having said all that. So it's going to be a fascinating battle come Saturday and a bit more work to do on the race today before making a final decision. But, yeah, that was the way the market was definitely trending yesterday towards the Kiwi.
How did Nature Strip look yesterday, Davo?
Yeah, good, Clarkie. J-Mac sort of saying that the best he's felt since Royal Ascot, so that's a big tick for him. I never garner too much out of a track gallop when there's no other horse around, and they all look $1 million when they're coming down the straight under a hold, and I find them a little bit pointless from a form analyst point of view. I'm sure they add a lot to the actual course in terms of getting there, getting some nervous energy out and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, until he does it again on race day, I need to see that. Obviously, he's going towards the TJ Smith, trying to win a fourth one of those. And he's been such a good horse for so long, but there's no denying the fact that he's been below his best since returning from Royal Ascot. And, yeah, whether he's the same horse is up for debate and up for, I guess, show in the TJ. I'm sure if he runs below par there, they might look at, sort of retiring the champ. But, I guess he gets another chance. He's fit and healthy and looking good. So we'll wait and see how that pans out in the TJ Smith.
Geez, I see Gold Trip's been well back in the Tankard Stakes this weekend.
Yeah, he has, Loz. Look, he's going to appreciate the 2,400 metres and a bit of rain about. Certainly won't hurt his chances if we get a bit more rain. So, probably one of sort of three or four main hopes there being at Way for Age. There's a lot of horses there that aren't well off, and him being one of those. So we know how good he is on his day. I thought he could have done a bit more last start all the same against Dubai Honor last weekend. I know it wasn't the thing. Like, if it was a good three, I would I'd be giving him more of a forgive. But the track was more like a soft five. I thought they put a little bit too much water on it, and it actually meant that it was quite soft and not like a proper good track. So with that in mind, I thought he could have done a little bit more. Saying all that, we know he loves 2,400 metres and he's going to appreciate the backup there. So he's going to need a bit to go right from that gate. He's going to get a fair way back. But I think they took one bet, the tab of 20 grand on him. And overall, he's been well supported into favouritism.
Shane Dyer has been interviewed for the News Corp publications and had some things to say about big jockeys riding midweek, particularly at carnival times, Davo.
Yeah, well, I suppose this is a bit off the back of Ben Mellum talking about fatigue and things like that. I don't know if we can make the argument too much in relation to the James McDonalds and whatnot of the world. I mean, particularly for what he's saying, riding one meeting a week, I'm not sure if, you know, they've got other obligations, sure, during the week, but I think riding two meetings a week's fair, and I think it's more from the case of, you know, if he gets hurt or if he gets suspended, as we saw there a few weeks back, and he was lucky to get that suspension reduced from the midweeks to be able to ride Animo and Co. Last weekend. But, yeah, I mean, look, I've never been a jockey, so it's hard for me to really put myself in J-Mac's shoes, but I would have thought that riding on Wednesday would give him a bit of momentum, and I think maybe riding one meeting a week, I'm not sure that's would be the best sort of lead-in for a Group 1 meeting. I'm not sure if you'd feel a bit rusty or whatnot, but I would suggest having, you know, at least that Wednesday meeting to keep things ticking over and whatnot might be the best thing during carnival times. That would be the other side of the argument for mine, but respecting what Shane Dyer's saying.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good day.
You too, guys. Cheers.
It's 8 o'clock. To come in the last hour of the program, we've got South's legend Bob McCarthy after the news. Peter Barton, the chief executive of the Wellington Race Club, they've got their Wellington boot and also cup coming up on Sunday, racing there tomorrow as well, and Josh Reynolds from the Bulldogs.